Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you'll bear with me for a moment, well, a little bit more than a minute, I'd like to begin with a story that really fits into what our Lord's getting after in this holy gospel for today. My youngest son, who is confirmed here, as I mentioned, when he graduated from high school, we were in Heidelberg, the largest European headquarters at that time. The high school, all the American kids went, came to me and said, "It's our custom, please, to have a chaplain who has a son or daughter in the graduating class. Would you please plan, lead the baccalaureate service?" Said, "It'd be my honor." Be at the large church downtown. If you saw it, you'd say it's a cathedral. Well, it's a Protestant church, so it's not a cathedral, but it's the same kind of building, huge stone arches, stained glass, this thunderous, marvelous pipe organ, the whole nine yards. Well, I found the biggest problem planning this service. I was invited to a planning meeting. There were 40 people, parents, teachers, and a lot of students sitting in a circle going, "I want to do this, I want to do this." I call it, you know, death by committee. The lady next to me, I remember, said, "I want my daughter to sing," who was there, "I want her to read her award-winning poem on how we should love nature and animals and trees." So I listened patiently, and I said, "I'll take this under advisement, all these things, and I'll edit the service. I'll give it to the vice principal sitting there." But she spoke up, said, "Chaplain, there's one thing we really got to have. It's our custom. There's a local bagpipe band, half Scottish people, half Germans. It's 10 years. They lead us out singing recessional Amazing Grace." I said, "That would be awesome." I thought, you know, that actually fits. So this would be great. But I said, "Please tell them," I announced to people, "this service will be done in 1 hour if you cut out all those extraneous parts." I also thought, "Oh, every chaplain says that, but it never happens." I said, "No, we'll get done in 1 hour, trust me. But please tell the bagpipe folks who could not come to the rehearsal, you know, day job, let them know they need to be there at a quarter till, because exactly on the hour we will be marching out of that service." The lady said, I gave them their message. So it did go as we had planned, as we had rehearsed. Military always do that kind of thing. We're at the 55-minute mark, we start the last hymn, and I looked over there, and guess what? We got no bagpipers. So we're 5 minutes from the end of the service. I start doing sign language to the assistant principal in the front row, going, "Where are the bagpipers?" I see her eyes get real big, and she does the "oh my God" thing, runs out with her cell phone. I'm thinking, "Well, Houston, we got a problem now." She comes back in and says, "Yes, we got a problem. They did not believe you that the service would get done in an hour." They said, yeah, they always say that. "They're a half mile away in a German establishment having German refreshments." She said, "They're now sprinting down the road, this pedestrian zone, with bagpipes and kilt. You're not supposed to run in a kilt, trust me." I thought, okay, we have 5 minutes to fail. Lord, help me. Grace of God, it came to me. I said, "My son's got a friend. There's this a cappella quartet." I said, "Okay, you tell them in 5 minutes they're singing." I said, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, go fetch them. Get them up here. They're going to sing." And I thought, you know, I don't know what they're going to sing. I hope it's something appropriate, but too late now. They get up to the chancel and turn around, and what I see is total stage fright, because there are 1,000 people there, Americans, Germans. So they freeze, but I was like, "Dear God, help them out here." Well, then they start in, finally. Slowly, they're kind of intimidated, singing too softly. Start singing these words, which you heard on the radio. "Sometimes in our life, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know there's always tomorrow." They're about to get to the chorus, you know, "Lean on me when you're not strong, I'll help you carry on." They take that breath. I notice the organist, a marvelous man who saw the need. He slides back onto the bench, and what do you think this pipe organ does? All of a sudden, there's this thunderous pipe organ cuts in with the notes of "Lean on Me." So it was good. Thought it's not a mighty fortress, but this'll work. So the young people are indeed inspired. Now they start belting it out. They start swaying, and now there's choreography. It's kind of a Motown moment there. And the young lady tells the congregation, "You sing. Germans do hear American songs on the radio. They know this song, so there's 1,000 people, even Germans, going, 'Lean on Me.'" So it was a remarkable moment. And on cue, like we planned it, the Scottish bagpipers come in, and we get Amazing Grace. I paused there a moment. I said, you know, maybe this was all providential, because if you take these two songs, I said, "Yes, Lord, you nailed it." Because if you think about what we've sung about, there's dangers, toils, and snares. There's pain, there's sorrow. This is life. How do these young people, what do they need to know to get through that? What do? We need to lean upon Amazing Grace and then help each other carry that load. I was going, "Yes, Lord, this will work." I thought this was touchdown, slam dunk. We got it. So now that takes us back to the reading, and you're probably thinking, well, about time. But the question is, in this life, the way it really is, with dangers, toils, snares, pain, grief, sorrow, what do? As the people of God, we will lean upon God's amazing grace. The reading today, let's call it healing grace, same thing. And then we can do no other thing but then to take that healing grace and then help each other carry on, lean on me as you get through life. So I've entitled this reading, "One Healing Upon Another," as our Lord brought that man in the story healing, no less than that. His amazing grace, healing grace, gives us the healing power to carry on as the people of God. Really fits in with Mount Olive's transition time here. Some things change, but that healing power of our Lord is the same forever. So when Christ walked about in his earthly ministry, word got out there was somebody who could take broken lives. I thought a Humpty Dumpty scholarly work there. You know, there's this situation, nobody can put that back together again. But yes, there was somebody who could do that. They brought, these friends brought this, their friend to Jesus. Deaf, could hardly talk. They begged Jesus to put his hands upon him. A simple but oh so powerful way, Jesus healed that man. Remarkable thing happens there. We often see this in the Gospels. Jesus is ministering to a multitude, but there's perhaps one individual need there, one person crying out more than the others. Jesus takes that person aside. Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, the woman at the well. A lot of times it was even a person who'd made themselves ostracized by their own sinful behavior. Jesus took them all, didn't he? He took this man aside and kind of made like sign language, trying to communicate what he was about to do. Looked up to heaven, spit touched his ears and his tongue, and the great physician, of course, he nailed it. He made a command. Think about this. This is a person who can command disease, the person who could command, you know, the wind and the seas, walking on the water. Jesus gives a command. And Mark's gospel uses a word that you see all the time. It's kind of like an eyewitness. The idea was that Mark was he told us what Peter saw, but says instantly he began to speak and you know, with no impediment, instantaneously, whatever you want to say. It says these folks were overwhelmed with amazement, shared the good news all over the place. Hold that thought for a minute. So this man said, "This is the best thing ever. He does all things well, makes the deaf hear, makes the mute speak. What could be better than that?" We know. this miracle, of course, we know points ahead to say this man, this Savior, this Son of God, has the power to do far greater things. Points ahead to the miracle of the cross, the empty tomb. He even healed you and me. That song, Amazing Grace, yeah, it was all over it. my sins he took. Martin Luther said the two most important words in the faith, very short, are for me. He did it for me. That's what we proclaim in this meal. He did it for me. It comes to me individually. Luther, if you read Luther, he was also very human, messed some things up. But he said, I've been baptized. God made promises to me in baptism. He cannot take it back. The Holy Spirit entered with all that grace into my heart, and he will not go away. So there's that healing grace for our sinfulness. But there's also healing grace for those other things that result from our sinfulness. You know, on the side of the grave, we still do face dangers, toils, and snares, pain, and sorrow, don't we? I thought in the sense of this man, he was hurt, wounded. Since we're all hurt and wounded, bring here a friend, Betty. I may have mentioned her to you before. To work my way through school, many jobs. One of them was being a group home manager for mentally handicapped adults, get them to the doctor, make sure they took their meds, whatever. We were having this big party, this field day, and they were doing like water balloon toss, you know, all those kind of things. An older lady, Betty, who didn't think she had the energy to do all this thing, I see her kind of looking thoughtfully at this people, and she comes to me and says, Jim, I've been thinking. Betty was very country, deep south, so, Betty, what have you been thinking? She said, we ain't no different from everybody else. So what do you mean? I said, everybody's got something wrong with them. Our stuff's on the outside and people can see it. Everybody else, most of the time they got something wrong in the inside. It's way down in there and they don't want to talk about, but it's there and it hurt. I had one of those like, oh my goodness. there's this mentally handicapped and incredibly wise woman as to human nature and the things we do. We talk about sins of commission and omission. Well, there are things we do to each other, aren't they? A lot of us have wounds of, okay, there were things done to me growing up. Sometimes the worst betrayal that a spouse can do, things that hurt, scars, wounded. In a sense, we all kind of walking with a limp. But what happens then? What do we do with those kinds of issues? The love of God from the people of God comes into play there. We heard it sung a moment ago. There's still pain. Who's going to go now? Isaiah had it. Here am I. Send me. Send me. As the love of the Father got embodied in Jesus Christ, wrapped up as a gift, guess who now embodies that love in this world, in this place? To those hurting people, proclaim forgiveness. Sometimes we know, unlike some traditions will proclaim, just because you pray about it doesn't mean those things magically go away. Oh, that it were true. But what do we do then? We endure with somebody standing by your side. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. Sometimes we would say, I got your back. Military, okay, I've got to bring in one military illustration. You do battle positions. If you're fighting straight ahead, that's 12 o'clock. Got to put somebody back here to make sure the enemy doesn't go around the backside. That's 6 o'clock. So we'd say, I got your 6. But no matter how you phrase it, we have the healing grace of our Lord to help everybody else to bear one another's burdens, to carry on. I like the way St. Paul put it. Galatians 6, he says, because of all these things Jesus has done, you know about, and he proclaims it, there's grace, there's healing, there's forgiveness. What happens now? He said, bear one another's burdens. One of those first modern translations, if you remember Good News for Modern Man, they had these stick figure illustrations that were effective. Bear one another's burdens. It shows this guy, he's bent over, there's a heavy load, he's got this satchel. Behind him, there's another guy. He's got one hand under that satchel. He's also got a heavy load. There's somebody behind him doing the same thing. People of God bearing one another's burdens. That healing grace goes on. People of God, as you come to different chapters in our history, it's important to note that. You notice when the Israelites crossed the Jordan, they erected these pillars. Like, let's remember what happened here. Our God's gotten us this far. But they weren't done. They had to carry on across the Jordan. You are remembering today, setting up a monument for a chapter in your history to celebrate what Pastor Sizemore and Lisa have done so well for this family of God for 20 years. Gifted leadership, talented shepherd I've admired since I was in seminary. St. Paul told Timothy, a young pastor, here's what you need, here's what you got to do. You will pursue love, you will pursue godliness, you will pursue gentleness, you'll endure suffering, a whole bunch of that. You need perseverance, steadfastness. So you have a remarkable shepherd who's done that. We're putting up the monument here. As a veteran of being a pastor of the civilian parish before I went in the Army, I can put in the plug for awareness of what the pastor's wife does. I might be embarrassing those folks, but anyway, here's the truth. This pastor's wife in particular, music, VBS, Sunday school education, on and on, as well as taking care of a bunch of children and bunches of grandchildren. So a remarkable chapter that we celebrate. But again, the story goes on. It began with a personal story. Mount Olive has a story about our Lord Jesus Christ, and the story is going to go on. We turn the page. I mentioned I come back here every 5 or so years, but I look forward to coming back again and visiting and seeing how you write that next chapter in those committees and looking for your next shepherd. Let the healing grace continue. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.